This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And we just watched Season 5, Episode 9, entitled The Dance of Dragons. The one where Arya yells, "Oysters, clams, and cockles!" for like half the episode, which was kind of hilarious.
I like it. She's.
I do too, yeah.
It's very endearing.
It is. Meryn Trant, not so endearing. Good lord.
Nah, he's a shit heel.
Yeah. A lot of shit heels in this episode.
Sir Pedobear, as I'm going to call him from here on out.
Yep. I don't know how old that girl was, but I'm sure the answer is not old enough.
Yeah.
Disgusting, Meryn Trant.
Yeah.
I'm disgusted
He's not the worst man in the episode.
No, he's not.
I thought he had it locked up. I'm like, there's no way. Nobody's going to limbo under that bar. And Stannis the fucking Manus.
Stannis Baratheon is dead to me.
Fuck him.
Yes.
Fuck him.
Yep. I do not want him on the Iron Throne.
I don't want him anywhere, honestly.
No. I hope... I thought Davos...
I hope it gets even colder. He slips on a patch of ice, busts his brains all over the fucking ground, and then...
Somehow burns to death.
Davos goes and leads the men up to the Night's Watch. They fully garrison all the castles, and everyone lives happily ever after.
Yeah.
This is getting... What did you think of this episode as a non-book reader?
I thought it was heading toward bad places, and then it was kind of awesome at the end. Like, another epic ending.
So you thought the ending was epic?
I thought it was pretty epic, yeah.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be supremely dissatisfied with it when I saw the fight that Jorah put up, which was pretty terrible, in my opinion.
We've regressed back to the kind of terrible choreography.
And I get it. He's an older guy, right? He's probably not as spry as an Oberyn. But once you see Oberyn fighting... Mm-hmm. And then you see Jorah fighting. There's no comparison.
It's not nearly
as exciting. And they did another dumb choreography thing where the guy could have killed him 15 times over.
Yeah.
And just stood there waiting.
And you get.
And I hate that stuff, man.
I think some of that you could chalk it up to gladiatorial pageantry.
But everybody else is just immediately dead.
Yeah.
Jorah's the only one who's like that.
I don't think it was just Jorah though. I thought most of the stage fighting was pretty terrible.
I did too. I didn't like it. And I was like, oh no, this is going to be a really terrible fight and a terrible scene.
Nutter is no Miguel Sapochnik, I think is how you pronounce that guy's name.
I have no idea.
They should have saved Sapochnik or whatever his name is for 8-9.
Okay.
Because he was wasted on 7.
Who is this?
He's the guy who directed last episode. He also directed 7.
Oh, okay.
He was wasted on 7. He rocked a house on 8, and I would have loved to see him directing the big pit fight.
Yeah, I think it could have been much cooler. That scene, though, was totally saved when the Sons of the Harpy show up.
Yeah. That was effective. Like, when they actually started seeing how well they've infiltrated the crowd. Did you think... I was going to have a rousing debate with you about whether Hizdahr was behind the whole thing. Because he's...
Well, if he was, he got betrayed.
Right. So it's like kind of a moot point at this point.
Yeah.
Point.
And then Drogon shows up and I was all in.
Okay.
I was super happy to
see that. I was worried you might think it's cheesy.
No, not cheesy. Okay. You know, I buy that there could be some kind of connection between Dany and her dragons.
So you're thinking she Aquaman styled summon the dragon.
She does like the eyes closed.
She tapped three red. She tapped four red.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And summon dragon.
I think so.
Okay.
It's Dragonstorm.
All right. That'd be 5, I think. Maybe even, I don't know. How much is the cast Dragonstorm out of
hand?
It's
like 7, I think. Right. But yeah, that totally saved it. I thought him coming in and blowing fire all over the place was
That part
awesome.
Was cool. That was cool.
Yeah. And when she got on, I was hoping it would be Tyrion. I was really hoping
he'd
be the one to ride it. But Danny getting on the dragon and riding away is pretty sweet. Now, I don't know where that leaves the rest of them. They're still kind of in the arena.
You and
I don't
me
know,
both, brother.
I don't know if all of the harpies left or what.
A lot of them got torched.
A lot of them did, yeah.
Like I thought Dario liked his chances against them, too.
Oh, my God.
He's like, yes!
He's a beast.
He is. He is. He's not afraid of shit.
Yeah.
I thought the actual drag... I thought the actual dragon riding was... not well composited.
Yes, I agree.
It suddenly turned into a late 90s fantasy flick on WGN or something.
Yeah.
The Legendary Travels of Conan or something. Like, wait a second.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I overlooked it just because the rest of it was so awesome.
Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, I was so bummed out with the Stannis stuff, and I was worried that, number one, you know, the whole sequence in the arena was fairly accurate-ish to what actually happens in the books,
okay.
And I thought that it was strangely muted compared to what I was imagining what would happen. But part of it is like, so I always hate like when I've got the book kind of fresh in my mind, because I've read that passage several times, just doing research and pulling quotes and stuff for some tinfoil things I did a couple weeks ago. But I was just so bummed with the Stannis stuff. Like, I hated that. I was like, oh, thank God, at the last minute he's going to swap out. This has all been Selyse's idea, and he's going to swap her out for Selyse. And turns out Selyse is the one that was wanting to show mercy.
What the hell?
And I didn't watch, but I heard a little girl burned to death. Fuck that, man. Like, if I wasn't watching this on a professional basis, I might have turned it. I would have come back and watched the rest, but I needed a moment.
Yeah.
I was really kind of like, shell-shocked.
Yeah, no, fuck Stannis. He's done.
He is. Like,
he
cannot
gets no more love.
He cannot win anything.
I don't care if he high fives John next episode and they go riding into battle together. I hope he dies.
I wonder if Davos betrays him.
See, I thought Davos was going to collect Shireen and head north with her, like abduct her.
Because he got
the distinct feeling that Stannis was up to no good.
I think he was worried, but I got to believe that he thought that he knew Stannis better than that. That Stannis wouldn't do that.
I thought I did too.
And now that he's going up, I don't know what Davos does. I don't know what Stannis does, but I'm kind of my hopes now on a whole Davos betrayal.
That he comes back and finds out what happened and decides Stannis can't live.
Yeah. And I don't know what would happen to the army and all that after that, because, you know, a lot of them sell swords and whatnot.
Maybe Jon can take it over. Maybe Stannis can get killed. John can swoop in there and become the leader of this army and take Winterfell back. That would be pretty sweet.
Maybe. So
save his sister. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't seem very.
I've already got
Game of Thrones ish though.
My phone started going off. Like, I don't usually get emails during the show, but I got a spate of hate mail on the stand. Like, within seconds of the Stannis scene.
It's warranted.
It's pretty bad. And is a general like Stannis is dead to me, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Let's get off the Stannis subject. Let's talk about Arya. What do you think of Arya? I felt like that was off. There was something off about how she behaved. And I'm not just talking about like pursuing Meryn Trant to the exclusion of what she was actually supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like. It wasn't very subtle, like just the fact that she would just completely ignore that guy screaming in her ear, girl, give me one of them fucking cockles. Yeah. And just like sit there and stare in open gaped mouth at Meryn Trant.
I'm allowing him time to like recognize her. Like,
yeah,
what are you doing,
man?
Arya?
Yeah.
She's no faceless man. That's for sure.
No, she is not no one. She's she's Arya Stark, and she's kind of just like reverted back to season one. I get it though. You see, mm-hmm. you see the man that you think murdered your mentor.
Yeah.
You might go, and she's a young girl. You might go a little shell shocked or catatonic, or you might be like Aeron after seeing Princess Shireen burnt to death. But damn, I was surprised that she let it go to that extent. And it felt from that point forward, like I was all in. I thought it's like, oh yeah, we're going to see her stalking this guy, mm-hmm. and we're going to see her get some intelligence, and it just all went out the window. And
so she did get some intelligence. He's going to be back to that whorehouse the next day.
Sure. And he's got a taste for young women.
Yeah.
So I think we can all kind of connect the dots of where this is probably going. But just her whirling, that clamshell tray through the whorehouse, and you know, making the eyes with Sir Meryn Tran as many times she did. I don't know, man. It felt very stupid to me.
It felt a little forced. I agree. I don't know. Maybe I'm blinded by the end of this episode being so awesome, but I still really enjoyed it.
Okay.
The stuff in Dorne is beautiful. Just absolutely astonishing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where they shot that, but that dining room or whatever it was was amazing.
I think that's a real location.
Yeah.
It's like not built or a set or something. That was one of the problems. I heard that they only could shoot like for 4 days, period. Which I kind of excuse maybe some of the how rushed. I still don't know what's going on. I'm glad to see things are actually moving.
Yeah.
But we're 9 episodes into this and I still don't know what the fuck Doran is doing. Like, he's sending Trystane and Myrcella to the King's Landing, and Trystane, who's a young punk, is going to be on the small council in some capacity. But I really don't know what the deal is.
I mean, the show is trying to tell us that he's just trying to preserve the peace.
He
right?
brought Alara to heal, got her to kiss the ring. That's, you know, the mother of the of half of the snakes, sand snakes.
Yeah, I was a little worried that she was going to try to, like, poison Jaime or something when she walked into that.
Well, there's still another episode left to go.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. From the looks of it, you know, he wants to just maintain the peace, but maybe he has more nefarious ideas.
But
not sure.
Since he's been introduced, which I can't remember if it was episode one or episode two, there has been literally no movement on this character.
True.
I want there to be desperately because he looks very cool.
Yeah.
Like he's got this, like, you know, and the way he's playing this game is like he's kissing Jamie's ass and all pouring, doing drinks to Tommen. And it's all very, you know, Michael Corleone, like letting them all kind of get in, but like I'm not seeing any Michael. I need to see less Fredo, more Michael.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wish we would get a lot more of him. Plus, I like the actor, and it'd be very easy to watch him do a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
There was some other stuff. I don't know. This little stag.
We're back on
carving.
Stannis.
Yeah,
but maybe talk more about Stannis.
No, we're not. Okay. We're on Davos. Right. Davos.
Okay.
How does a man with no fingers make a carving that ornate? Like,
it's just on one hand, though.
If you ask Jamie to carve you something, he would not be able to do it.
It's just on the one hand, though.
I know, but you kind of need both hands.
You can hold it with nubs. You can nub up and then carve. All right,
I'm just saying it looked really good.
Teeth, Jim.
Okay.
He's got those.
He filed his teeth down.
Yeah, he's got those famous Seaworth chompers.
Yeah,
that just can eat through like an 8-inch sea plank on the side of a warship.
Yeah,
chewing up a stag, no problem.
All right. I mean, I don't have a whole lot more to say about
That's the thing. Like, Stannis didn't even cut his fingers off. He's just a problem finger, fingernail chewer.
And
he wore him down to the bone. No, I don't either. I am dissatisfied with this as a tip. You know, they did spectacle, but the spectacle kind of similar to last year. Like, everything built up to the siege of the black, the action at the wall at Castle Black. I was trying to think of the Black Castle. What's its name? God damn it. The Black Castle. The battle at the Castle Black. And it just, you know, this is a one location and we weren't really invested and some people died that we didn't really care about. I feel like this about a lot of the episodes, the stuff that was supposed to be epic. I'm glad it landed for you. So this might be being pissed that Shireen burnt to death, then carrying on to just being kind of dissatisfied and antsy that I don't think they were hitting everything that they needed to hit. But this episode, I think, is the my least favorite of the penultimate episodes of Game of Thrones.
I think that might be the desired effect, though.
Hmm.
Like, that Stannis stuff, you know that they want us to hate Stannis at this point. There's no way that anybody looks at that and says,
yeah,
I understand why he did that. Sure.
I better not watch a fucking insider episode where the double D's are like, well, you know, we expect the audience to understand that Stannis is a leader and you got to make practical decisions and sometimes daughters got to burn. You know, it's like if I get one more of like I will flip my fucking lid. But but that's shocking. Shocking to me.
I don't know. We'll see what episode 10 brings us, what the finale brings us. I hope they give us a little ray of sunshine at the end of this.
I doubt it.
I do too. I really do too, with the stuff that's going to go on with Arya.
Honestly, I thought they were going to end the season with Dany riding off on a dragon. That was going to be the ray of hope.
Okay.
Like, finally, she's riding a fucking dragon. How awesome is this? Woo!
Yeah.
Putting it here in this penultimate episode, like, I don't know. Next week just might be a double-decker shit sandwich for us to eat and dread what's going to happen. Like, what the hell is going to happen next season?
Okay. I hope not. I'd like to be excited for next season.
Well, I'm not saying it's that kind of thing, but, like, you know, I'm trying to think of what would be.
Imagine if there had been a Sansa scene in this episode. My God, it'd be...
Well, there wasn't, so it's almost guaranteed Sansa scene for next week. That's what I'm talking about. Like, where is the... Like, you know, season one was kind of like a brutal kick in the balls.
Yeah.
But you had the Night's Watch heading out for the greatest ranging ever, and got the blood pumping with that, and you got the, you know, the Rob's Bannerman making him King of the North, and you're thinking, all right, we're saddling up, and that
goes bad places.
But they at least gave us the hope. I mean, I wonder if it's like as we go further into books, they're going to skip the hope. It's like, nah, we're not even going to pretend.
I hope not. I hope not.
I'm pretty sure there'll be a lot of people having things to say about this episode. If you'd like to get us feedback, you can do so at GameOfThrones@baldmove.com. We'll be back with a full featured podcast on the episode, scene-by-scene breakdown. Lots of your feedback on Tuesday, and then we'll have the spoiler edition on Friday. You can also participate in the conversation on forums.baldmove.com. We got a spoiler thread and a non-spoiler thread, depending on which way you're swinging. And you can also follow...
I pretty much avoid them all, just because...
It's probably safe.
I'm scared.
You're so
spoilers.
Close. Like, I feel like... that's one of the things I'd like to see at the end of the season, like whether I can tell people, like, I don't know. If they completely catch up to the books at the end of the season, I'd tell people to go like crazy, but there's still a lot of like nitty gritty stuff that I'm not sure why they haven't put in, or if it just doesn't matter or what, but it's hard to tell people you're ever spoiler free unless you've read everything. So,
okay.
But yeah, you can follow releases on Facebook and on Twitter.
All right, cool. We'll see you guys on Tuesday for the full cast. Until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.